This is the second of today's election specials. In June this year, Tim Crookhall was elevated to the Legislative Council, leaving a House of Keys seat vacant and triggering a by-election in Peel. Peel is the third largest town in the island after Douglas and Ramsey, but the fourth largest settlement because Onchan, regarded as a village, has more residents. It's located on the west coast at the opposite end of the Central Valley from Douglas. It's the island's main fishing port and home for its famous skippers. The town is surrounded by sea to the north and the constituency of Glenfarb to the east, south and west. In the 2011 census, the constituency had a population of 4,092, but no doubt it's more now. Voters represented around 72.5% of the overall population, and the turnout at the last general election was 61.65%. Four candidates have filed their nomination papers for this by-election, which takes place next Thursday, the 10th of September, and they are, in alphabetical order, Independent Leslie Hanson, a dentist, Liberal Vanin Party's Penny Hardman, a civil servant and former Peel Commissioner, Independent Ray Harmer, a marketing product manager and Peel Commissioner, and Independent David Pownall, site supervisor with the Manx National Heritage and a musician. All four candidates are with me today in the studio to discuss some of the issues raised in their manifestos and to explore their views on some topics of general and national interest. Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you all for joining us again this afternoon.
Thank you.
Right, now we begin in the traditional manner, folks, for these programmes. So before we enter our conversation, each of you is given 2 minutes uninterrupted to talk to us about any matter of your personal choice. And this too is in alphabetical order, which means we start with Leslie Hanson.
How do you do? I want to stand for the constituency of Peel because I believe being born in the Isle of Man and living in the Isle of Man all my life, I've experienced how the Isle of Man has developed and changed, and how things have changed, some for the best and some for the worst. And I think we've had an awful lot of money in the past coming into government coffers. Money has been going out far too freely. It hasn't been looked after the way it should have been. And unfortunately now we're in a situation when government is not getting the revenue it used to get in, and people need to be put in power in the government who can actually run the situation on a lower income and maintain the same standards. As you said, I'm a dentist, and I'm in communication with a lot of people within the health services and also patients. And standards of medical care within the Isle of Man as regards waiting lists, etc., not standards as of standards of care, are not as good as they used to be. And somebody needs to be in charge that can ensure that the money we do have is spent as wisely as possible to ensure the services to the community are maintained to the same level and not reduced.
Right, that was Leslie Hanson. And now Penny Hardman.
Yeah, hello. My name's Penny Hardman, as you've been told, and I'm the Lib Van candidate in the Peel by-election. Over the last weeks, I've walked around Peel meeting as many people as I can, and the same concerns are expressed over and over again. One, there's a lack of trust and confidence in the current administration. And two, further development on the edges of Peel needs to stop in order to protect our community cohesion, and because the current infrastructure in Peel does not meet the needs of the people already here. There's also agreement that things need to change. Lib Van is the party that's committed to fighting for change and is the only means of achieving change against a background of lone voices and broken promises that always follows from independent candidates. Unlike our current administration, Lib Van stands by its policies. The party also fulfils an important role in questioning the way our government represents the people. I believe we deserve a democratic government. I believe we deserve a government that is open and transparent. I believe that it's our generation's responsibility to secure a long-term future for our children and for generations to come. As a Lib Man MHK, I will be different. With two MHKs supporting me, coupled with my strong academic background in research, education and law, and with careers in the financial, charitable and public sectors, I'm a powerful voice built upon common sense and reason. I know how government works. And one of my strengths is forming strong working alliances between the public and private sectors to get the job done. With the knowledge and experience to formulate policy and review legislation, and as a proven problem solver, I had the skills to ensure economic and social growth and to represent the needs of my constituents. It's time that the people of Peel came first.
Right, that was Penny Hardman, and now we move on to Ray Harmer.
That's my. Peel is a great place to live with a vibrant community at its heart, which I care about very much. It has a rich heritage and so much to offer. We can make a difference, not because of one individual, but because of the many working together with a common vision for the benefit of the community. I believe in open and inclusive society, which seeks to protect and support all. Having attained an engineering degree at Cambridge and later an MBA with the Open University, I've worked on business on the Isle of Man for 20 years. I was elected as Peel Commissioner in 2009 and have served as chairman four times. It is a privilege to serve the people of Peel, bringing people together to make things better, such as creating a playground at Cothworkers, regenerating areas of the town such as Marine Parade, improving commissioner housing, providing more recycling sites, harrowing the beach, reducing costs, and offering free library membership, free Wi-Fi and free tennis courts. My priorities include ensuring our infrastructure in Peel meets the needs of a growing community. We've finally reached an agreement with Manx Utilities for the building of a closed sewage plant for Peel, and we want to move forward with this solution because we need a safe and clean beach in Peel without delay. There's more regeneration waiting in the wings to add what's already been accomplished, and new housing for the elderly will be built to extend and develop Westlands. Nationally, the focus is to grow our economy, to safeguard the future of Ireland, for example, by targeting new markets in Asia and IT services. A stronger economy will enable us to support and invest frontline services and take care of the vulnerable. Good governance requires honest and constructive challenge. An example of this was exposing the unfairness of the toilet tax. Over the years, I've built strong relationships across business, the communities, charities, governments and wider field. I'm committed to work harder and to build on what's already begun and keep aiming for better.
All right, that was Ray Harmer. And now the fourth to speak today is David Pannell.
Firstly, I've heard the word town mentioned a few times. I think Peel is a city, isn't it? I think it is, in actual fact. The city rather than the town. I'm standing in the Peel by-elections Peel because I want to do something good. I think the MHK should be the mouthpiece for the public and not necessarily come along with too much of a personal agenda. However, I have obviously produced a manifesto. I want better social healthcare for the elderly, more investment in education, ensure the infrastructure in Peel meets the needs of the community, increase the facilities for young people and guard our fishing industry. I'm also very keen on democracy, and I think that the elephant in the room is that Tynwald has a division, namely the Legislative Council, which could be an embarrassment on the world stage as the members are not voted in by the public. I think this is outrageous. I would also like to say the health service, you can be in need of healthcare 24/7, but there seems currently to be an issue with performance, notably reference diagnostics of certain cancers at Nobles Hospital. We need to be better funding, scrutiny and management in place to diagnose more quickly and hence increase a patient's likelihood of recovery. That's
about it. Well, you have more time yet.
Oh, right, okay. Pensions. You must pay in before you can take a pension out. I see quite a lot of even MHKs doing 5 years and expecting to get elected for another 5 years and complaining about the pay and the pension. People are also complaining about the fact that they're going to have to work in 2026 till they're about 67. This is purely a mathematical equation, and it's got a lot to do with putting money in before you can take it out.
Okay, well, thank you. Then that's that. We are now the 2 minutes in. Thank you for that, David. Well, there we are, our four candidates for Peel: David Pannell, Ray Harmer, Penny Hardman and Leslie Hanson. You've heard from all now. And what we're going to try and do is explore some of the issues that they've all raised in their manifestos and one or two others perhaps of general and national interest, which they haven't. And you were the first to speak, Leslie. You had a whole variety of quite unusual items, I may say, generally, in the your manifesto this time, but you spent a lot of time on the first page focusing on what was the MEA in the past and the broadband facilities up the telephone wires, which they were talking about. Why was that? I mean, that we're long past that now, aren't we?
The report only came out a couple of years ago. I've been at this since 2003. We have a telecom system waiting to be lit up, which the government and the people of the Isle of Man own. I've talked to someone who said it can still be lit up. This was designed to provide a revenue income stream to pay off the MEA debt, which is, I think, it's about $392 million. And now in 2003, electricity prices were half what they are now, and we generate our electricity by natural gas, and wholesale prices of natural gas are about the same as they were then. So basically, we could halve electricity prices if we could get the MEA's debt financed by the telecoms company.
Right, but that, of course, is going into competition with the existing people who've been licensed.
Don't you think competition is good?
Well, is it a good idea to use taxpayers' money to compete with the companies who've paid the tax?
Well, the thing is that you have the National Health Service and you have schools using taxpayers' money to compete against King William's College and private dentists. So using taxpayers' money to compete with private sector things, as far as I'm aware, there's no law in the Isle of Man that says that can't happen. And in my manifesto, I said the only reason I think it could, someone could be against it, is the fact it may be some Brussels anti-competition law or company law. But as far as Manx or UK legislation, it said in the manifesto, there's no legislation to prevent it.
Legislation or principle? What do you make of that, Ray?
Well, in essence, having spoken to Phil Keane, a number of people, there is a wholesale company for telecoms, and MEA are in the business of selling their bandwidth across the island to the UK to a number of companies. They have absolutely no interest in going into the local market. And the big problem with that is because the technology that would allow you to have telecoms over power cables has been superseded, which actually would give you slower service than what you're getting at the moment.
But Leslie is more talking about, he's not focusing on the service, he's focusing on the economic benefits of it to the Exchequer.
Well, in terms that they already are a wholesale provider, they are already in the telecoms market, but for the wholesale, so a number of companies already use, and the fibre to
and pay
the
for
UK
it.
Is already, and they compete with Manx Telecom on the wholesale market.
No,
so they're already
thing
doing
is,
that.
There's two different companies here. You're talking about Ellen. That's the fibre optic between the Isle of Man and the UK. This is Skyward. This is a fibre optic going to every substation, and that is not being used. It can be lit up, and it can could turned into a Manx telecoms network, which would be one of the best in the world, basically, and it provide the revenue stream and income to pay off the debt or service the debt of the MEA, and thereby we could halve our electricity
prices.
Okay, now,
if you were elected, Leslie, what would you do about it? How could you do anything about it?
Well, basically bring it up in front of the keys. And so, yes, we do this.
OK, so you'd treat it as a motion. Well, let's move on talking about the keys and talking about the Tynwald in general. Penny, you talk about a lack of trust in the current administration.
Indeed.
Now, you're not the first candidate who's brought that up, but you can give me some examples of that.
I think, well, generally speaking to constituents, there's a suspicion across the board about how and in to whose benefit decisions are made. For me, if there's nothing to hide, make it public. I mean, we do have a Freedom of Information Act sort of that's now been passed in legislation, but the rollout's very, very slow. It's about open and transparent government. We're a very small island. We've got an awful lot of expertise within our community. Mm-hmm. So for me, it's allowing people to get involved in politics if they want to. It's about having the information to research problems that, you know, that are there. I mean, Liv Vannen sort of kind of with the scandal with the MEA, that's something that Liberal Vannen brought to the attention of the public. But these things shouldn't need to be unearthed. They should be there for the public to see. If mistakes are made, they should be admitted. When contracts are awarded and it seems to be the same contractors over and over again, an explanation of how that award was made.
Well, of course, that sets of circumstances, but that doesn't answer the question about lack of trust in the current administration. I mean, can you demonstrate publicly where that is coming from? You're talking about comment at the moment.
Generally, it's a lack of democracy in Tynwald. We have a chief minister who's not publicly elected. He chooses his ministers, who historically appear to be yes men. They have to vote with the chief minister, which is not democratic. They sell out on their policies that they were elected in on to achieve this. So we essentially have an autocratic leader and a government with no public mandate. We as the public have not elected our government in on any policies that are published.
Well, you've been travelling around the constituency and you indeed work for government. Have you found there is a lack of trust in the administration, David?
Well, I have, because people have been talking not just about the chief minister not being elected by the public, but specifically with the MLC, Legislative Council. They shot themselves in the foot recently, I think, by not letting an ex-Deemster join the Legislative Council. And I think when they do something like that, it really highlights how ridiculous the system is. I also see that the Legislative Council more recently are more and more originating policy rather than legislating policy. People on the streets in Peel, they want to see an input from the public to the Legislative Council, the voting in, the democracy side of it. They don't say that there isn't a part or a place for the Legislative Council. They agree that there is, but it doesn't form any part of democracy on the streets in Peel.
Well, could we put it to you that perhaps a lot of the people, they will say this, but they're not all that very the fuss. They're more interested in education, health, pensions. I mean, going around contemplating Tynwald, contemplating its own navel, gets quite frustrating at times.
It does, absolutely. The young families, of course, they want better education and preschool facilities, funding at university. But we are very keen on the Isle of Man at spouting off that we have the oldest continuous parliament in the world, and I think that in one day it will come back and bite us, basically, if we don't sort ourselves out.
Continuous parliament may be, but government as a single entity is the latest thing, Ray. That had, in fact, this is the thing. We had a Sunday opinion programme about it very recently, where the Chief Minister was explaining some of the plans, a lot of them based on some of the Scottish ideas. Are you a supporter of that or not?
I'm a supporter of elements of it, yes I am, in the sense of joined up, the general principle and what we've done in Peel is joined up government, people working together. I mean, I go back to the playground at Clothworks, it was different, it's departments, it was the school, it was parents, it was commissioners, all working together, and I think that's a model, and you see that quite a lot in Peel in a number of different places, the Centenary Centre, etc., where people come together and they're not sort of bound by, if you like, little sectors of their chiefdoms and their sort of areas, and we actually come together for common outcomes and common goals as well.
Well, so, in other words, you agree with the idea of having common legal... Now, there's a difference between a legal entity and joined-up government.
Well, there is, but, I mean, my main thrust is really to see, you know, the government working to get common aims and common objectives. I do think it needs a proper regulation.
So you're saying that the Council of Ministers at the moment probably is a bit dysfunctional?
Well,
I'm putting words into your mouth.
Yeah, you are a little bit, but I just really strongly believe in it. If when you pull resources and you're looking for common aims, you know, silly examples in the Department of Infrastructure. One person paints yellow lines, another person puts parking spaces. It's you have common names in terms of healthcare. Of, for example, if you take mental health and if you take social and all sorts of healthcare together, if you work together in one area rather than in silos, you're going to have better outcomes.
Does Little Vannon have a policy on this?
It's not a policy, but there's some thoughts on this. I personally think that government should work smarter in terms of back to joined up government. Or, you know, it's a really good government is overcomplicated and overly bureaucratic. My fear with a single legal entity is we will have then a council of ministers or a chief minister, essentially, instead of being a autocratic leader becomes a dictator. I don't think we have the checks and balances in government to to allow democracy if we have a legal single legal entity.
Well, I'm quoting from your manifesto. You say, Liberal Van fulfills an important role in questioning the way our government represents the people of the Isle of Man.
Yes.
How would that change?
Well, it wouldn't for Liberal Van. Lib Van would still continue to question the way, you know, the government represents the people. My fear with a single legal entity is we would then have a dictatorship.
What do you make of it, Leslie?
Well, we're talking about the structure of government, but any government structure will work properly if you elect the right people. The big problem is not the structure, it's the people. If you elect sensible people who make sensible decisions, whatever the structure is, they can make a system work.
But if the foundations of a property aren't very well built, the rest of the property can be a bit dicky.
That property has been functioning very well in my lifetime, which is in the past 60 years, and it's only in the last recent years that people have started saying there's something wrong with the structure. In my view, I'm not saying the structure can't be improved and changed, but to undermine the basic concept and big changes. If you talk to people on the streets, they are not interested in the structure of government. Their interest, will there be place for their children, 5-year-old at school? Do they have to wait 10 days to see a doctor? Can they get an operation, or do you have to wait a month because I've got cancer to see a specialist?
If I can interject there.
Changing the structure of government is not going to solve those problems.
But it is. I mean, if you can't bring forward policies that represent what your constituents want, because
I've just said what not just the constituents appeal wants, all people want, the basic stuff. Changing the structure is not going to alter it. It's getting the right people in to ensure those services are provided.
The problem we've got with our current system is collective responsibility, which means democracy doesn't exist. There's no platform for informed debate.
Well, I think so people would challenge about down. Democracy doesn't exist. I mean, if it doesn't exist, why on earth are you bothering to stand for election?
Well, I'm standing for election because I think I can bring forward some change in the way we structure government so that we can bring forward policies that adequately reflect what we need as an island.
Well, OK. Let's move on then perhaps to some more subjects that were in your balance sheet. Quite a bit of discussion is going on at the moment, and I don't know what you make of this, David, about sea freight, the competition in it. Things being considered about the steam packet company. Do you think we should be looking for breaking up the sea monopoly, or do we just renew the user agreement when it's due?
I think to put all your eggs in one basket is a desperate situation, and I think that there should be some sort of competition. The Isle of Man steam packet has been going for some years, but I don't see that it's actually belonged. Using the Isle of Man name connected with the steam packet company is no longer viable, really. It's owned by a bank, I believe, and you must have competition, like Leslie was saying earlier on, with the MEA situation, which I incidentally think is a good idea. I think you're talking about putting broadband through the electricity cables, which is an actual fact what we do now. I have a system in my apartment actually where the Wi-Fi goes through a cable, and I don't think
is old technology. Just to explain, that's different from what you're doing there. Putting telecoms over power cables is 3-4 years old. It's not the right solution. It has to be fibre optic. They've moved on.
Hang on a second, excuse me. The fibre optic is in place to every substation, and the system was from the substation, it goes down the earth wire to the house. Now that system from the substation via the earth wire can be replaced by a more modern system, but the actual fibre optic structure is in the island. It's fibre optic and it goes to every substation and it's waiting to be lit up, and it can be lit up.
I definitely think we're missing a trick there.
I'm just saying technology wise, I mean, obviously
getting back to my original question though, I think that we need competition for the Isle of Man steam packet company. Basically.
Right, but are you taking into account the fact that the last time that occurred, the competitor and the steam packet both nearly went under?
Yeah.
I am actually, yes.
In my view, the big problem the Isle of Man has with a lot of things, we need a competition situation in a lot of cases, but when you have such a small population, and unfortunately now tourism's a big thing as regards covering the costs of the steam packet, but now that's much less. We have a very tight situation, and to have competition, as Roger said, two firms nearly went under. Now, I'm just suggesting this as a thought. If you remember, there was a strike in the 80s, 70s, Roger will remember, and the Manx government chartered the Barletta. And the Manx government paid a charter fee and did not manage it at all. They brought a management company, did the whole roll-on, roll-off scheme, and the Manx government worked out what fares they were going to charge, and the Manx government collected all the ticket money, and that's their only involvement. They did not run the thing. They just paid so much a month for the shipping contract. And I think that could be a possibility in the future, because it means government doesn't have to manage it. It's managed properly by a private shipping firm, but government can choose how much it charges in fares for cars, freight and people. Only a thought.
That's a Lib Van policy, I understand, Penny.
Well, in fact, it's the user agreement itself that was where the error of judgment occurred. Mm. By placing a commercial value on the user agreement,
Produced a valuation of the steam packet at one time. It upped its value.
It did up its value, but what happened was the Isle of Man lost control of that user agreement, which actually in itself became the asset rather than the services that were supposed to be provided.
Right, now pensions, and there was a lot of talk about pensions, state pensions, civil service pensions, and so on. But Ray, you're one of the other candidates, probably the only one, who's talked about pensions and annuities. Now, the Treasury Minister believes that the Manx people should not be allowed freedom to spend their money as they should. They must have an annuity. What did you make of that?
Yeah, I completely disagree. I mean, my general principle is that people are best placed to make the best decisions for themselves rather than government. And, generally as a principle. And annuity rates are really, really poor. And most people in the private sector now have a money purchase scheme, and to then be forced to pay something where you're only getting 4% on your sum of money and not allowing you to then reinvest it in property or whatever to be able to actually get a pension that you need. And I think it's much better that people have say over their own affairs.
Anybody else would like to comment on annuities, because it's a specialist subject?
I would have to agree. I think the suggestion that people who've saved all their lives for their retirement cannot decide what to do with their lump sum doesn't say a lot about the intelligence that is considered of the general public.
Well, if any of you are successful, whichever one of you is next Thursday, the one thing that is lurking in the background is the cost of pensions, public service pensions and state
yes.
pensions and so on. What would you think you would be able to contribute to the debate about the growing imbalance between those who are collecting a pension and those who are paying for it, David?
A pension is, it's quite a simple equation. You put money in and you take money out. I mean, you try go to...
It doesn't work like that with the state pension, no?
Well, you do. You pay into the state pension for a number of years and then you qualify to take something out. I mean, it's a bit like... If you went to the bank and tried to draw some money and there was no money in the bank, you'd be told that you couldn't draw anything out. Well, a state pension is just like that. You have to work for a number of years before you take anything out. Now, the government recently have decided that people haven't been paying enough money into their pension fund, and we all need to look at paying more money into our pension fund right from the word go, in your very early 20s, because if you don't, there won't be anything there. And it's very unfair on the government to have to fork out and pay a pension if you haven't paid the money in. It's up to you to put money into your pension fund. And I think a lot of the government workers should take note that putting 3% or maybe 5% into your private pension fund, for example, is not enough. I heard a prospective MHK 2 years ago in the Legion Hall in Douglas say he was saying he was prepared to put 3% of his pension his earnings from being an MHK, and I thought, how ridiculous. This man is approaching 60 years of age. How much money does he think he's going to accrue in 5 years, and why on earth would he think that it could even match a pension? We're going to have to put a huge markup on these threes and fives and 7% to draw on a pension.
But the state pension scheme is a pay-as-you-go scheme. The pension that people today are drawing is paid for by the people today who are paying in.
Well, of course, and they were. I'm sure that they'll be protected. There's different cut-off points. If you're born after 2011, you know, there'll be different criteria for the future. So anybody in the past who's paid into a pension fund, the government have been quite honourable, really, and they're willing to, of course they are willing to honour that particular agreement. But in the future, people will have to start paying more into their pension
funds.
Well,
Ray, if you were successful in being elected, what would you contribute to this debate?
Well, the first thing, I do really think you have to lead by example. And I think, for MHKs, I do believe that we need a non-subsidised money purchase scheme, to be blunt. And on that basis, the deficit is about 30 million per annum. The overall deficit projected is 3 billion. They've done a lot of work, and you mustn't undermine the work that's done between the unions and the government, but I still think there's much more work to be done. And I think it will come to us, you know, you've got to get work progressively. You may have to increase contributions. You may have to look at some of the sort of final years of when people retire. I think there's a lot of detail, sort of number crunching to do, but one thing that's really important is not to panic in this sort of situation. It's 30 million a year. A deficit is not, the 3 billion is projected over the lifetime.
One of the problems with candidates when they go for election is they're trying to attract the imagination and enthusiasm of the voter. You're trying to attract a vote in the end, and very often manifestos do not read with any solutions, they just read as a wish list. But there are certain issues with whichever one of you is elected, you find yourself deeply embroiled in fairly quickly, I think. Now, you are suggesting, Leslie, that the personal tax, we have a change of personal tax allowance. Isn't this what the recent budget allowed for?
Totally different. Difficult to explain without someone actually seeing it. People have got it's in the manifesto. But the present budget, I think the personal allowance goes up from about 9,300 to 13,000. But at the moment, the first 10,000 after that, you pay 10%. It goes up to 20%, but that 10% ban's being withdrawn. So basically, it's robbing Peter to pay Paul. And the only thing I can reason for doing it like that is that is it trying to harmonise our income tax the same as the UK? I don't know. But in my scheme, it would be much better for the person at the bottom in the income group. But it's targeted. So the people in the middle stay the same, don't lose out. And it costs the actual Treasury very little money. But just to come back to what we're talking about, pensions, people seem to forget, you said, Rogers, that what people take out today is what people pay in today. Mm. They forget that we used to have a £300 million pension pot in the Isle of Man, looted
but not
by
the
politicians.
Not to the level of £300 million.
Was it £300 million?
Well, whatever the figure was, I think it was 40 million went to the hospital, didn't it?
Well, the hospital cost a lot more than 40 million.
Yeah, well, that was funded from elsewhere, yes.
Well, the thing is, it was looted by the government with a strict promise, faithful promise by government, that it would be paid back. Not one penny has been paid back.
But which government was that? It was a long time back.
It was the Manx government.
That's enough.
I think with pensions, though, we have to be very, very careful not to confuse public sector pension scheme with the state pension scheme.
Yes, that's correct.
You know, there are issues with the public sector scheme that do need to be addressed, and there's still a final salary scheme in place. You know, it does need to be phased out. People have paid in quite a lot, and that does need to be protected. But it's not affordable. It cannot be continued. But that's very different to the state retirement.
Right, well, we'll take a short commercial break now and we'll return with more from the Peel candidates in 2 minutes.
Local business, Nicola Bowker. Need an accountant? Nicola Bowker. Want accounts you can trust? Nicola Bowker. Whether a sole trader or large company, for your free initial meeting, call Nicola Bowker today on 861 271.
To date, and is it compliant? St John Ambulance can help. We have a range of first aid kits, both for home and workplace, starting at only £10. From an item as small as a plaster to life-saving equipment such as a defibrillator, we hold many items in stock. Call 674 387 to discuss your needs or email marketing@sja.org.in to receive a catalogue. St John Ambulance, here to help.
If you need to take a break from all the noise and restrictions from the area being paved in Castle Street,
Pop in to GH Gorlitt and experience the tranquility that our shop brings. With the most beautiful choice of jewellery, excellent service and fabulous choice, we invite you to take a look around at our ranges of rings, earrings, necklaces and bracelets, along with watches, gifts, trophies and so much more. GH Gorlitt, still open in spite of the current works, on Castle Street, Douglas.
We interrupt this programme for an important newsflash. Calling all Audi owners. There is now no need to put your Audi on the boat for computer diagnostics, servicing and repairs. Auto Solutions now offer full diagnostics, servicing and repairs for all Audis. And they are also a member of the Motor Industry Code of Practice, Service and Repair. So you know your vehicle is in safe hands. Book your Audi into Auto Solutions today.
Auto Solutions, 670-145.
It's not too late to enrol on that course you've always fancied. You could learn Chinese, write a bestseller, cook like a pro, or do a fitness course. Call now on 648 204. The Isle of Man College of Further and Higher Education. Putting your future on the right course.
In this election special, we're meeting the candidates in the forthcoming House of Keys by-election for the constituency of Peel, and it takes place next Thursday on the 10th of September. The four who are contesting the seat are with me in the studio today, and they are David Parnell, Ray Harmer, Penny Hardman and Leslie Hanson. They're all independents with the exception of Penny Hardman, who's the Liberal Vannin candidate. Well, folks, we've been discussing a number of issues that circulate around some of the things that are in your manifestos. One of the items which seems to come out in different forms is our relationship with the United Kingdom government. Now, you seem to indicate whether it's VAT or whether it's the way we take on board legislation or what we do, we should look to changing that relationship. Is that what you believe, Penny?
I think it's a difficult question, and whether we should be wholly independent. I would be very interested to see what happens with Scotland's bid, in particular how the banks react to that. I mean, it's a definite putting all the figures down, deciding what's best. I mean, certainly in terms of the VAT sharing agreement and, you know, whether going duty free is an option. There's an awful lot of pros and cons, and I would really like to see more facts and figures. And like I say, see what happens with Scotland.
You express concerns about our constitutional relationship with the UK, Leslie.
Yes. I'm quite happy with the present constitutional relationship of the Isle of Man being a Crown dependent territory. What was worrying me is legislation was passed in Tynwald. I wrote to the Chief Minister, every member of Tynwald, that includes the two Liberal Vannin members of Tynwald, pointing out they were passing legislation that basically stop the Isle of Man becoming a democracy, because it gave a UK government body direct authority with a government worker in the Isle of Man, a person employed by Manx government, without reference to the Manx government. Nothing was done, so I wrote to the Queen in Buckingham Palace, pointing out this what was going on and drawing attention to the fact that one of the responsibilities of the UK government in the constitutional relationship is to ensure, before it gives royal assent to any legislation from a Crown-dependent territory, which the Isle of Man is one, that it ensures that it complies to international law. And I pointed out, as the Isle of Man would cease to be a democracy if this legislation was passed, that democracy is a fundamental right guaranteed by the United Nations Charter, and therefore this legislation would not comply with international law. And I respectively requested that royal assent be withheld until such times could be redrafted to comply with international law. That letter was then forwarded by the Queen to the office of 10 Downing Street on the 26th of July 2014, and I am still awaiting a reply.
Now, may I put it to you rather bluntly, what's that got to do with the citizens of Peel at the moment? I mean, how is this going to make them vote for you?
Citizens of Peel are also the citizens of the Isle of Man. This is an election about being elected to Tynwald, the government of the Isle of Man, not about an election to Peel commissioners.
Yeah, but now that's an issue that you've taken up. What about the basic relationship? Are you happy with that?
Well, as I said at the beginning, I am happy with the relationship with the status quo. As regards the VAT agreement, there is discussion about should we get more or should we get less? But that is a matter to be discussed and sorted out.
David, you say in your manifesto we should stop looking to Westminster for help, do we?
Well, I think that we should remember that actually the Lord of Man, we sold the Isle of Man basically in 1765 to the Queen. I think the figure was something like £70,000. Generally, the link with the United Kingdom is quite good. We're not a member of the European Union, but we're governed on international affairs by the UK. That's something that they do for us. And I think that we also, if you're travelling the world, it's very, very handy to have a British passport, a British link. For example, let's talk practicalities here. If the Isle of Man was to be invaded, we don't have an army or a navy or an air force. Look out. You see, you talk about the UK like we have some sort of choice. I might remind you that if we start...
I'm quoting your manifesto. Stop looking to Westminster
Help. No, I definitely think we should stop looking towards Westminster and look towards Scotland and Northern Ireland, which are in a similar situation to us. But everything seems to be centralised out of London. And that's my point. It doesn't need to be. We can look at Scotland or Northern Ireland. I don't know why the Chief Minister went to Southern Ireland recently. I don't really see much value in that. But
well, I think he went on a fact-finding mission more than anything, didn't he? As far as job creation, this new £50 million fund to have a look what the island did with their money.
Yes, I know, but the Southern Ireland have been taking money off the EU for many, many years, and now they're actually paying the price, and I think they still are paying the price in Southern Ireland for doing that.
And you say we should have an independent relationship with Europe. What's the matter with the present one?
There isn't anything wrong with the present one, but it's governed by the UK government through an act of accession. It has nothing really a lot to do with the Isle of Man. It has to do with government ministers shouting our corner. They might decide to leave the EU, and ipso facto, the Isle of Man is out on that day if they decide to leave.
Well, now, Ray, what do you make of our general constitutional relationship? I mean, it's been burbling along in and slowly developing in one way or another for a very long time, and we have obtained a great deal more independence than we had in the 70s and the 80s. But I mean, do you see it going further, or are you happy with it as it is?
Generally happy with it as it is. I mean, obviously, you want more control on certain things, but generally speaking, our relationship's really, really vital with the UK, and they know it as well, and they really respect our relationship. It's very important for the London bond market, and that relationship is. But we need sort of people with gravitas who talk to the UK counterparts to actually make our case for things. It depends on who goes and represents us in terms of the UK. That's very, very important.
Now, Penny, you're a member of the Liberal Vannin Party. It's quite clear that you're a candidate here. You've stated this on numerous times already. But what value is the Liberal Vannin Party, do you suggest, to the people of Peel? I mean, they're electing you, Penny Hardman. It's your name that they'll put the cross against next Thursday. How can they be certain that you will speak for yourself and you won't have to do as you're told?
Well, I do accept Liberal Vannin's policies, and they're presented in my manifesto. But sitting outside of those stated policies, I do have a strong voice and free will to pursue anything that's relevant to Peel. The policies themselves are very good and actually would suit the constituents. But in terms of the issues that are specific to Peel, having three MHKs in the House of Keys supporting things like the sewerage and the general infrastructure in Peel would be very helpful.
Right, OK. Now, if I could ask you as well, David, for a minute, there is one other issue that's come up here, which has caught quite a bit of comment, and that is you have said that you will give your salary, if elected, for the year up to the next election to a cancer charity. Now, but that is a most unusual election ploy.
Well, I suppose it is, really. I had a friend who was misdiagnosed at Nobles Hospital. She did have cancer. It wasn't diagnosed on the Isle of Man, it was diagnosed across, and she's no longer with us. I think this could happen again, and I think that if I was to put any, all of the money, if I was successful in this candidacy, towards cancer diagnostics at Noble Hospital, I might actually save a life. But the most important thing is to raise awareness for the structure of Noble's Hospital and the way that the government are funding the hospital. I think that we need better funding. For example, general surgery is up by, the waiting list is up by 65.3% on last year. There's 109 people waiting for operations. Breast surgery is up 15.2%. There are five ladies waiting for breast surgery. We need to look at the Alabama
Well,
hospitals.
There's two questions there. One is, I should ask you, if you were elected, what you think you could do about it?
I would, physically, I'd be up the hospital myself. I'd be knocking on Alan Bell's door, asking, what have we done in the past? I'd like an independent inquiry as well. I think it's very, very difficult, though, because we've got a lot of people there working very hard for this, for the hospital. And I don't want to decry this, but they do need more help, basically.
All right. Well, we're nearly at the end of the programme now, and I shall ask you all in a moment to tell me just a little before we go to the end of the programme. But just very quickly, first of all, it seems to me that we are talking here right to issues again. Do you actually think, Ray, that you will be able to achieve anything in 1 year or under 1 year? Or is this the sort of hors d'oeuvres for the general election when the combined constituency comes about?
It's a very difficult question. I mean, in 1 year, obviously it's a short period of time. But the good thing is that I've developed lots of relationships. I can hit the ground running. So whilst, you know, it is limited, certain things like the sewage and issues and infrastructure regeneration, as MHK working very closely with the commissioners and other sectors, I can actually push those things and actually make an irreversible commitment for a treated plant in for Peel. So yes, a year is a short time, but you can get your ground, you can get running and you can get moving straight away if you've already been working with all of the other commissions and government sectors and civil servants as well.
Right, but it is a short time for all of you, of course, and the same probably issues will apply. But now we're nearly at the end of the programme, and I shall ask you one short question, which maybe you would all like to answer in just about half a minute, please, as we're nearly running out of time now. And we'll go in reverse alphabetical order this time and start with David Pannell. David, why should the worthy citizens of Peel invest their vote in you?
Because I'd like to bring a voice back to Peel. I think that we constantly need to be speaking to the electorate to find out what their thoughts are on their government, and the MHK is purely a mouthpiece. So that involves a lot of walking, still walking around the town, not just during the election period, still walking around the town, gaining information on what the electorate want of the government, basically. And
right.
I'll be doing that.
Okay. Ray Harmer.
At this point, we're very much a crossroads economically and nationally and also locally. And building on the relationships that I have with the commissions and all the other areas of government, I believe I can make a real difference. And it's not one individual that can make a change, but if we work together, we can. And yes, we can make a change. And yes, we can make things better and improve things. And I'd like to start to do that next week.
Penny Hartman?
Yes, a vote for me is a vote for change. There is strength in numbers. And voting for a party gives that structure. The next year is about forming alliances behind the scenes to drive forward change in the way that we're governed. We need to vote for a fairer future. We need to bring politics back to the people, and we need a strong voice in Peel.
And that would be you, would it?
It would be me, yes.
All right, OK. And now the last of our four candidates today, Leslie Hanson. Why should they vote on you?
We've had in the past a lot of money coming in. We're now in a situation economically where money is tighter than it ever has been. People want the basic services of education and health maintained at the present level, if not improved. Unless you have someone who can run the place more efficiently and make sure that money we do have is spent as wisely as possible, those services will not be maintained.
Right, well, thank you all of you for coming today. The elevation of Tim Crookall to the Legislative Council has caused a by-election in the Peel constituency, and in today's election special, the second today, we've been talking to the four candidates for Peel: independent David Pownall, who's a site supervisor with the Manx National Heritage and a musician, and independent Ray Harmer, he's a marketing product manager and a Peel commissioner, and Liberal Vannin's Penny Hardman, she's a civil servant and a former Peel commissioner, and independent Leslie Hansen, who's a dentist. The election takes place next Thursday, the 10th of September, and the polling stations for Peel are number one, the Corran Hall at Peel, and number two, the Centenary Centre in Peel. Both stations open at 8 o'clock in the morning and close at 8 in the evening. Now, this will be the last general election for Peel as it is now, and for the 2016 general election, it'll be merged with Glenfarb to form one new and larger constituency. Now, if you'd like to hear again any part of this programme, it'll be available on Manx Radio's website, www.manxradio.com, in the on-demand section and also in the election special section. Our producer today, as indeed for both programmes, was Catherine Nicol, and I'm Roger Watterson. Goodbye.